This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kick-off, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Wednesday week. Hello from the other side. Now, on Saturday, we've got the very short little journey over the hills past Penistone, if you want to go the lovely, and I always go the scenic route. And we're dropping down into Huddersfield, the foot of the Pennines, the beautiful little town of Huddersfield, to play Huddersfield Town. At the, sorry, Cozzy, what's it called now, your stadium? John Smith's, is it?
John Smith Stadium, mate. Abbott.
So we've had, what have we had now in regards to stadium names? How many of you
have? Calfarm Stadium.
Yeah.
Calfarm Stadium, John Smith Stadium.
John Smith Stadium.
Not as many as Bradford City, our favourite strugglers in
fourth division. We tend to go between Hillsborough or the Rust Bucket, depending on whether you're a Wednesday fan or
I've heard Unitedites calling it something else, but it's a family show, so we'll
they can call it what they want. They're just jealous. Yeah. They're just tenants in our original stadium of Bramall Lane. So I'd like to welcome Cozzy on board, who's Huddersfield Town, resplendent in what are you wearing there? What's that top you're wearing there?
Schalke. I know I'm not going to our game on Saturday. I will be watching it, but I'm off to watch Schalke. I'm off to Germany on Saturday.
Enough, I'm off to Germany tomorrow to watch Hertha Berlin. Yes, because I'm a Hertha Berlin fan as well as a Wednesday fan.
That's mad. I'm off to watch Schalke, Cologne and Wolfsburg. I've never been to there. Two guys not at the game, but I will be watching it in between games on Saturday because the beauty of I follow. But it's X-rated stuff in it. Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday. I can't kind of remember the glory days of 2017, but now two absolute...
Let's not talk about... Well, I was going to say, we'll be heading over to Huddersfield in the Forestieri Fun Bus, which is a bit of a... I know you took a bit of a piss take over that. And I would imagine Wednesday fans will be dreaming of Miguel Liera free kicks or Ross Wallace taking Kachunga's notes and having a quick read. Or alternatively, drab 0-0 draw, which then led to you beating us at Hillsborough and then going on to 2 years in the Premiership, while we self-destructed, got FFP points taken off us and basically turned to shit, effectively.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Cozzy.
Yeah, so I'm on a podcast called Annie Takes That Chance, which obviously when we beat you in the semi-final, we went on and won the final. And that was the kind of the iconic penalty commentary in that as well. So, yeah, we decided to do a podcast in our second season in the Premier League. So we were thinking we'd stayed up against all odds. We thought this would be a great idea. And pretty much since we've done a podcast, we've hardly won any games. So we had a season the other year without nearly, but ended up miraculously back in the Premier League. But John Moss decided to not use VAR that day, so we ended up missing out. But yeah, so pretty much big town fan. Love doing the podcasting, even though it's an hard sell. There's only so many times, as you guys will know, when you can just tell the same story week after week after week. And I think someone put like some stats like last 10 seasons. I suppose a lot of clubs can relate to it, but I think we've had just the top 10, obviously, the season we went up and we came third a couple of seasons ago when we lost in the playoff final. But pretty much everything else has been like 18th, 9th, 20th. So it's kind of boom and bust with Huddersfield. So, yeah, but yeah, I love going to the games. But it's been really tough. But having said that, you know, life's all about positives, I think. And when we couldn't go to the games when COVID was on, to me, it just didn't feel like football. I know it was good to have the stuff back on the telly and it kind of got that connection, but it just wasn't the same, mate. And yeah. I don't live too far away from the ground. And I went for a walk once and saw the floodlights on it. We're just like, we should be in there. And it's kind of, I'm kind of grateful to this time. So you go in there and I think, bloody hell, I wish I hadn't bothered. But I'd rather have that any day than just sat on this sofa watching TV, watch it on the box. So
I think last time we played you at John Smith's, it was actually during COVID behind closed doors. You beat us 2-0, I think, last time we played you.
Yeah.
And I don't remember it because I wasn't there. And more likely than not, I watched it on iFollow or something like that. And it just, all those games sort of, I mean, it was a bloody awful season for us anyway, which resulted in us being relegated to League One. But no, it was horrible. It's a funny thing because Wednesday have just brought out season ticket prices and we've all been chatting about, you know, are we going to renew and stuff like that.
You've got a good job.
Yeah. Well, it's, I think for a lot of us, it's more the fact that it's such a short, that the first discount is okay, but it finishes on Tuesday.
Yeah, when everyone's out there in January, out there just after Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like, you've been paid January now, and February's, February's only short months, so you can afford
Christmas
it.
Christmas wasn't expensive. No one's out there.
Honestly. And like you say, we mentioned off air about cost of living crisis and all this, and you just think, really?
But what's been served up and all, yeah.
I know, exactly. And we could have League One football next season as well.
Snap.
But would I not want to go? You know, I go with my son, my friends. Yeah. Obviously, over the last 4 or 5 years, I've met Ash and the rest of the podcasters, and we've become quite good close friends. And I think it's sometimes a little bit more than football, isn't it? Supporting your team, whoever you support,
it's
a little bit more, especially when you're not in the Premier League, when you haven't been an established Premier League team, and it's about, you know, oh no, we haven't qualified for Europe and stuff like this.
Can't associate with it, mate. I mean, like, obviously, there's been a midweek round of Premier League games, and you hear some of the fans' troubles that you hear. They're just on another zone, aren't they? And I mean, obviously, I watched your game last night, and it's quite funny because, you know, it's like when you turn, say, the Liverpool game on just straight after, it almost feels like another sport, doesn't it? You know, I've seen it. It's quite funny watching a Huddersfield game on a Saturday afternoon, then you walk into a boozer, and there's, you know, Manchester City v. I know it's obviously different levels, but you just think, wow, this is like a division below and it should be a bit better than it is. But having said that, obviously, if you're an Ipswich fan, a Leicester fan, you know, you're loving what you served up Southampton, Leeds. They're playing great football. We're not
Huddersfield guys. Exactly. I mean, we've got Huddersfield. Obviously, we've got you on Saturday. We've got Leicester in a couple of weeks at Leicester. And you just think,
you got a draw against them at home, didn't you, though?
We did. We did all right. But I just think, you know, I went down to Southampton, saw Southampton, and went down. And they're just a different level, you know. And you just, oh dear. Luckily, I'm on holiday for that one, so I can't make it.
You got them next week, mate. So, I'll do the gardening that day, mate.
So I thought I'd start recently because we both used to have the same manager in regards to Darren Moore. And I think a few of us were hoping that Darren would be still in charge of the Terriers on Saturday. So, because I don't think his time at the club has been that sparkling, has it?
He's certainly not. I think, you know what, obviously, as you guys know, he's such a gentleman, such a nice guy, but he just felt like a manager that wasn't made really from the start. I think the biggest thing that was a millstone around his neck was, and I remember so many Wednesdayites coming on and saying, what is this about? So our director of football mentioned this guy has been brought in to play attacking football, front foot football, and that's why he's got the job. Then there were Wednesdayites saying, is this another Darren Moore? Because this wasn't the Darren Moore we've seen, like, got us opened, you know, the season before. So all of a sudden, and there were a few people who kind of know a little bit more about him than me were saying, yeah, this is just not Darren Moore. And now he is. And I think as well, another thing, I also kind of think it's like the Sir Alex Ferguson kind of thing when Moyes at Man United. You were following Neil Warnock, obviously a big friend of everyone at S6. And the guy, legend, character, a total character. And you've gone from a total character to a guy, he's easily probably the most boring manager that I've ever known. Huddersfield, and okay, you don't appoint people for, you know, humour and, stand-up jokes, but his press conferences and post-match, he's, honestly, they could send a glass of eye to sleep. Absolute boring. And it's got to a stage where just the connection's totally been lost. Again, you're thinking, well, if put the foot winning football, then, you know, Carlos Corberan were hardly a stand-up Lee Mack, but, you know, people forgive him when you're winning games, but we were just not winning any foot games. And then throw into that, the football was so negative, not going anywhere to win. We've drawn 13 games, which is the most in the England, I think it is, which tells you a lot about it. And I know it's draws into wins. To be fair, loads of mitigating circumstances. A squad that probably fit for League One until it's been bolstered with four signings in the January window. An horrendous injury list. Part of me wonders how many of those, I think it's about 11 players out, how many of those really would have made a difference, but there were definitely a few. And obviously with a big bench you have now, you've got no depth, and yeah, it was hamstrung with that. But it was just so frustrating, mate, because like we've had like, this is the last of like four winnable games that we should add, and we've just drawn all three. We played Plymouth at home, Plymouth haven't won an away game. That were like must win. And obviously, you know, a bit about our chairman is a bit, you know, it comes on social media saying this, that, and the other, which, you know, Dan and Moore's dealt with quite well. But like, and then we went to Blackburn, who were totally out of sorts. Again, you know, we didn't go there really with much ambition. And last week, Queen's Park Rangers, two horrendous teams, and managed to take the lead 86th minute. Cruelly, 95th minute, they equalised. Kind of summed up the Moraine, really. Just not really, good for you. But just so, just lacklustre. The fans just never took to him, mate. Never took to him.
No, I sort of saw that, because obviously the way he left S6, you know, we obviously went up on the wave of a huge amount of emotion from the Peterborough game, and then obviously Wembley winning the playoffs, 120+3. And then a huge amount of positivity that was pissed upon from a great height by, we don't know what, you know, there was so much conferring different stories about, you know, Darren Moore wanting more money, Chancery this, Darren Moore that. And to be honest, I mean, we'll talk about your new owner in a moment, but I mean, our we've got a batshit crazy chairman who, you know, I don't know whether you saw the Cisco Munez unveiling, where he just went on this diatribe about Carlton Palmer, who'd had a bit of a go about it. It was just madness.
Yeah.
So there was a bit of, we all felt a little bit sad, because we all wanted to give him at least 6 months in the Championship to see what he could do with the squad we got.
Simon, would he have gone if they hadn't turned that Peterborough game around? Definitely, I think that would have been...
I think he was very much a Marmite manager. So you were talking about the draws. Our first, the season after we went down after COVID, so our first season back in his first full season at tenure at Hillsborough, where we got to the playoffs and then lost against Sunderland in the playoff semis. That was very much, he did what he's done to you over the last 5-6 months, was we became a draw specialist, and we were drawing far too many games, not winning enough games. And even into the season just gone, so many games we were winning 1-0, we battered a few teams, you know, Cambridge, I seem to remember, but in all intents and purposes, we never really put teams to the sword, which, to be honest, at some points we looked like we would, but then we go 1-0 up, and whether or not it's because he was originally a centre back, he then went into the sort of defensive mode. I don't know. And I liked him. I thought he assembled an half-decent squad, which now seems to be being taken to pieces. I think if we'd not gone up, then yes, I think he would have got the sack, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, a team like us, who's got a batshit crazy chairman, you know, an aging squad at the time. I mean, he assembled a lot of decent players, but I think our average age at the time was something like 31, 32. It did seem to be, whenever I saw him wearing a Huddersfield top, it's meant to be seen when you first bump into that ex-girlfriend and she's with another man. It was a bit like that. It was all a bit too raw. It's a bit like when I've seen George Byers today wearing a Blackpool shirt. It's all a little bit too soon. Thank you very much. So you've recently, we're talking about chairman, you've recently had a new owner, haven't you? An American guy who came in, was it September, and bought you?
Yeah, it's been quite an interesting ride. So obviously we were so lucky in this day and age. We had a local owner, Dean Hoyle, who were a fan of the club. And what a ride we had under Dean. Obviously ended up in the Premier League, but straight back out of it. And then Dean had sold to a friend whose business had kind of gone Pete Tong after COVID. So Dean had to come back again to kind of save the club. And that was in the playoff final season, which is really weird, kind of a backdrop of, you know, potentially the club not paying wages, etc. But yeah, so it was time for Dean kind of to leave. And it's the first time we've ever had foreign ownership. And obviously looking down at Hillsborough, it's like, obviously some foreign owners are more successful than others. But so yeah, American businessman called Kevin Nagel. So the guy owns a club in America called Sacramento Republic. So they basically play a league down in MLS. So effectively our championship. And so yeah, all random really, 68-year-old guy all of a sudden from Sacramento, why would you want to come to Huddersfield? So it's also been a bit of an interesting one, but yeah, it's a bit eccentric, is Kevin. So one of the first things that we saw with him is he went around Huddersfield, and I don't know if he's kind of famous in Yorkshire actually. So there's like a chicken and chips place called Marston's in Huddersfield. Yeah. So Kevin was there like taking a picture of him, even having chicken and chips at Marston's, and how great was this? So obviously, he was a bit of a charm offensive, really. So, you know, the people were like, wow, this is a guy. And then I think he went into Huddersfield Town Centre. Brave him, to be fair. And he was having a pint of bitter, photographs. And he was just like trying to build that connection. But you know what it's like in football. How much money you've got, get your money out. And the problem that we had is he joined, he kind of got EFL ratified really, really late. And then we were late bringing in the director of football, late bringing in the CEO. And pretty much the window in August was a disaster. And that really pretty much is done for Darren Moore for me, because we hardly brought anyone in. We brought a guy called Tom Edwards in. Lee said about him, the better, biggest defender you'll ever see for weight reasons. But and apart from that, you know, nothing else really brought in. And the squad's I've always thought we've got like not a bad kind of first 9, 10, 11. But after that, you're really struggling. No depth. And it's been proven. I mean, if we buy bad injuries. So, but yeah, Kevin Nagel, it's been interesting. He's the guy who doesn't hold back. He's ex, I don't like to call it ex, do, but Twitter account, whatever. But I mean, he's piled the pressure on Darren Moore. He came over, he's obviously can't come over all the time, but he came over in January. So the first, after the Plymouth game, within about 2 minutes of the 1-1 draw, it was a really turgid second half. We equalised in the first half. You're thinking, right, Darren, come on now. This is a massive game. Let's gamble. Let's go and win. Showed nothing. So at 4:58 p.m., Kevin Nagel, not good enough, capital letters, 50,000 exclamation marks. So you're thinking, here we go. You know, is he getting the boot there? And then, no. And then he did loads of video diaries with this guy that he's come over with and that as well. And to be fair, there's been quite...
He's a dish jockey, isn't he? I've actually had a look at him because he's quite he's an interesting character, your chairman.
Yeah,
and he's come across and he has really sort of immersed himself in Huddersfield life, hasn't he? In West Yorkshire, which must be so totally completely different to where he lives in the States.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, it was funny we were going about, because he's had to stay in an hotel in Leeds because there's no hotels in Huddersfield, so he's like, he's got to be in his bonnet and about that. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff like kind of needs sorting off the pitch as well, that we're not on. He's wanting to have 100% ownership of the stadium. The council is in absolute bits in Kirklees in Huddersfield, so we've lost the swimming pool. He's got ideas of like developing stuff X, Y, and Z, but you know what fans are like? It's all about on the pitch, and obviously we've been really struggling. Yeah. But the only thing I'd say is that, you know, we've had these video dads have been really good, but there was one that was ill-advised, and I thought was a bit wrong on Darren Moore. So there's one after the Blackburn game, the game before he went, and basically came on, it was like 7:30 on Saturday night. I was interviewed by the guy that he'd come over with, and he was saying stuff like, other managers say that we're not, we should be attacking more. And he were, you know, next week is a must win and all this stuff. And I was just thinking, for the first time, I thought, I mean, it's up to him. It's his train set. He can say what he wants. But I just thought, this is not good, really. And Darren Moore, obviously, you know, so the journalists are lapping it up. So next press conference, Kevin Nagel says it's a must win. Kevin Nagel says this, Kevin Nagel says that. And it's just like, Darren Moore's just like, yeah, it's always a must win because, you know, I want to win every game. You know what Darren Moore's like, don't give anything away. And but the only thing I'd say is now when you're looking for a new manager, will your cream of your crop be looking at thinking, well, hang on a minute, mate. Do I really want to take over the place where the chairman's going on Twitter every 5 minutes and, you know, and kind of piling the pressure on? And to be fair, he did another video, Darren, this week about, you know, the management. I think they're going to interview 12 people. And apparently that's going to be something that's going to be, I mean, if you've done your own work and then applying, then you'll know that this is what he does. So it's hardly that you can say, oh, you know, I didn't know he did this. But they are going to mention it in the interview. But you know what, mate, he's put his money in there. It's his, yeah, it's his toy. Yeah. But again, it's just, for me, it's just been, someone summed it up nicely for me the other week. It's like, because it was really weird. There were a guy in America in his garage interviewing Kevin Nagel, a CEO, and talking about the manager and tactics and stuff. They don't want to pass the ball back. And I'm just thinking, hey, this is like Championship Football Club. It should be a little bit more professional for that for me. But to be fair, he kind of answered that back in this week's diary. So, yeah, it's an interesting. I think the people of Huddersfield really like, but I think obviously he's very popular now because Darren Moore was not liked. So, but when you've got an account, he will reply. He's replied to loads of people, though. That's just it. He followed me within about 2 days of taking over. I'm thinking, bloody hell, you know, watch out what I say. But it's an interesting time. But obviously, you don't know the Championship, and you'd like to think he's surrounded by himself. But Mark Cartwright is like the director of football. He were at Stoke. I mean, he'll talk up how well Stoke did, but he were there when they went out of the Premier League. So it depends which Mark Cartwright you want to see. Jake Edwards, with another guy's come from like America, is kind of looking after the league that it's almost like he were in charge of the Championship League and that as well. So we've got, what do you say, an experience. Like it's people that are not used to kind of the cold face of English football and they've learned hard, obviously, looking at the league table. But yeah, it's not dull and... it's if you were looking for a nice Twitter account to follow, get it followed. Kevin Nagel, MLS. I thought it would have parody at first, mate.
I thought that it was a next step on from Ted Lasso, to be honest. And the guy who's the disc jockey who came over with him, and then like you say, he's put a diary on this week. And he is in his garage or something like that.
Yeah, Carmichael, Dave Carmichael.
Yeah, that's it. Dave Carmichael. And it is a refreshing change to the madness that S6.
Yeah.
That we are not alone. So obviously Darren's gone. You've got, is it your caretaker? Who's your caretaker manager? Is he?
John Worthy, and he used to play for us. I think he's got a winning issue back in the day about 10 years ago. But yeah, just academy. And I mean, again, part of me were thinking, you know, well, if you're going to sack Darren Moore, you've got to have someone lined up, and it's clear that they've not, and they're interviewing, and you know. But the thing that does kind of worries me a little bit, for me, I don't know about you, but for me, all that should be this season's about is staying above that dotted line and staying in the Championship. But it was really weird, like the kind of, it's almost like the job description was somebody who can come in, have an instant impact, and then play really good football, like moving us forward season after. And I'm just thinking, wow, you're asking a lot there. How many people are around? And it's almost like I'd just like to... I know they're trying to look long-term, and obviously Neil Warnock want long-term, but did an incredible job to keep us up. But we're kind of in that moment again, and I just think, to me, stopping up is everything, and that's what it'd be disastrous to go down, as you know, League One, you know. The depth it'd go. And I keep hearing fans saying it'd be good to have a reboot and refresh. No, it would not. It would not. And you don't get many Ipswiches coming back and flying up again, do you? It's just, you've come from struggled. Rotherham probably going to go again. Barnes, they always go up and down. Yeah. That'd be us. So we need to stay up, but it's touch and go, mate.
The investment that Ipswich, they've been investing since this time last year, haven't they? With the signings, you know. And I think it's almost, you know, shit or bust for them, because obviously with FFP etc, if they don't go up or at least get a shot in the playoffs, then they've probably got another season at it. And I think Brighton did it, didn't they, a few years ago when we beat them in the playoffs and then ended up losing to Hull. You know, if they hadn't gone up that following season, then FFP would have got them, and which it did eventually get us. It's not a level playing field, as we all know. You know, you've come down. The teams that are coming down now, I think the Premiership has moved on so much since you were there. You're looking at Leicester. Years. I mean, Leicester fans were moaning about how they play football. they're how many points clear in the top of the championship with a wage bill of 68 million.
Yeah. But look at Burnley last year, mate. The football they played, the best team we've ever seen, and probably coming straight back down out of this.
It's a scary.
Enjoy the ride, really, because the journey is better than the destination for me.
Without a doubt. So you've made a few signings, obviously, over this period. Now, one thing I was thinking about today is whose signings are they? Because obviously Darren Moore's just been sacked. Darren Moore wanted? Are they the players that suits more ball? Or are they players that can, you know, if a new manager comes in, that can work? Because this is always the thing, isn't it? That a manager comes in and they go, "Oh, wait till he brings his own players in, et cetera, et cetera." So you've taken on, how many have you signed? Four or five players?
Four players, yeah. I brought one back from Motherwell, a right back and that as well. But
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later.
Yeah, it's been interesting. We were desperate for firepower. Obviously, we got two strikers in. Reece Healy, interesting signing from Watford. Never really got any game time under Ismail, and probably could have been done with last night watching your game. But yeah, he's 29 years old. He's got an interesting kind of record. He did well in France, and he went on loan, I think, at MK Dons. He did a good job. But yeah, he's just the target. I mean, this guy just needs service. He's one of your classic. I know if he's not scoring, he's doing nothing. He's not kind of a link-up man. We've got another guy in called Bojan Radulovic. He's kind of a bit of a beanpole striker, but he links up plays tall. He's a guy that will bring you a little bit more, kind of be good in set pieces and stuff like that as well. And yeah, he seems to be all right so far from what we've seen with him and that as well. Yeah, we signed a Dutch guy, Radinho Balker from SC Groningen. He came on a sub last week and cost us the goal. Well, there were a few things leading up to it, but yeah, he just didn't jump for the goal. And welcome to English football, obviously, kind of thing, and that as well. And it's been a real tough baptism for him, just coming off the bench and that as well. But of course, he's got to get used to what we're doing and that as well. It's been an interesting transfer window as well. Brody Spencer come back from Motherwell. He's a right back with good because we've lost. Was right back out for the season. We're coming back from a cruise ship. Who's done it again? It's horrendous. When they scored last week, they put like a shirt up to him, which was a nice thing. And a guy on loan from Chelsea called Alex Matos, who's a bit like an old school dog of war type. He just gets stuck in, flying in for tackles and stuff. But our problem is goals, mate. And you were mentioned there about Darren Moore not scoring. If we don't score enough goals, and to me, the next manager, we've got to play a system or got to play a way where we're getting more goals. We never score hardly any. That's going to be as bifford as if we don't sort it out.
Absolutely. It must be a hangover of Darren Moore because we've said for the last two seasons we need a decent striker. And despite, bringing people in like Smith and Gregory, et cetera, we've always looked lackluster up front. You know, and we played Smith yesterday, who I thought was okay. Gregory looks like he's completely out of favour and probably won't play again for Wednesday, which is a shame. There was talk about going to Derby today, but I think that's fallen through. Yeah. We're playing Bailey Cadamatri up front, who's a young 18-year-old who's scored four goals. Yeah. Yeah, he is. Puts himself about, but again, he's only 18.
Isn't he? You can't rely on him. Yeah,
absolutely. And a lot of our goals are coming from midfield. So I think we pinned our hopes on signing this American guy, Duncan Maguire from... Who at one point flying over last night was supposed to be signed for Blackburn and it fell through. And then there were photographs of him at Kenwood Hall Hotel, Mercure Kenwood Hotel in Sheffield today, actually in the hotel. And I said, on, we have a WhatsApp group, and I said, oh, this is shithousery from Blackburn. Yeah. And they're going to let us pay for his room service in his hotel, and then they're going to sign him. And by all accounts, it looks like they're signing for £700,000 loan for the rest of the season. Yeah. And then signing him for £4.5 million, which is way. If you think about what you could spend, what, £5.3 million, £5.2 million on in regards to, it's probably our team's not worth that, you know. We've signed a couple of players, Danny Rule seems to be getting a tune out of the players that Cisco Munez couldn't even get a bang a drum about. So the team, when we played you, obviously he'd just been sacked when we played you at Hillsborough, hadn't he?
Horrendous game, mate. The worst game you'll ever see in your life.
It was a typical Darren Moore 0-0 draw, really, to be honest.
God, I thought he just woke up.
But that for us was the steadying of the ship, really. Because we'd just been absolutely dire. You know, there was a point where we were singing, we've had more throw-ins than shots on goal. That's how it was prior to that.
Yeah. You play to win, though, mate, now. And that's the thing. Yes. We've got to find a manager who can do that. And part of my thing is the horse bolted, because we've had winnable fixtures and we haven't done that. Eventually, Moore's kind of changed a little bit from his 3-5-2 we were obsessed with. But he'd argue, well, I haven't had the players to play another system. And to be fair, last couple of games, he has changed it. And we do look more threatening and stuff like that. So, but it's all hard work. It's not slick. And, you know, when I watched you last night, I just felt, you know, you could see what you were trying to do, when they were a style of play. They were a real stamp on the team. When I watch yours, I just think, what are we? And obviously, you know, another caretaker manager, what's he going to do? And then someone else will probably be next week for the Southampton game. And it's not ideal to change at this time of the season, but I did think the change had to be made. I'm not one for a sacking. Six managers in 18 months were a bit of a... you're going back Wednesday nice being that. A basket clear score, but Huddersfield out far behind at the moment. And he's... But it always makes me laugh, because, like, we've got to get this one right. But you don't ever appoint a manager thinking, let's get it wrong, innit? It's like...
We've been saying that since we sacked Trevor Francis back in the 90s, to be honest.
Big run,
So, a couple of play. I mean, you've got an ex-Wednesday player playing in defence in Tom Lees. What's your thoughts on Tom Lees?
Can you pause this, by the way?
We'll have a go. Shall we have a go at pausing it? The pause there was because he thought he was going to burn his house down due to a farm food's pasta. But apparently he's got 20 more minutes. So that's...
Mate, it's like waiting for a dad and more shot on target. It's as long as that. 50 minutes. Yeah.
So we're back in the room. So we're talking Tom Lees. So an ex-Wednesday player who went over to yourselves when he left Hillsborough. What's your thoughts on him?
What a signing, mate. Obviously, I think his better days have gone, but even now he's still been really good. It's really funny, because, like, you speak to Leeds, obviously Leeds got delusions of grandeur, but, like, Tom Lees, and obviously, you know, it was, you know, Wednesday, were your captain on, eh?
Yeah, we signed him. We signed him, and again, Leeds were very much like, oh, he's a pile of shit. And he signed for us, and he was playing playing by the side of Glenn Leuvens.
Yeah,
and he was absolutely superb. And Leuvens at the time was manager. And then Leuvens' legs went pretty much in the two semi-finals against you lads. And that was him. His season was done. And then when we gave him the captain's armband, he just went to shit. It was almost like there was a nerve on his arm that just...
Right.
And he didn't really come back to any sort of... where he'd been prior to that, until probably the season when we let his contract run out, and obviously he left and joined you guys. But I've always got a soft spot in him.
Yeah, he's been a fantastic signing, mate. Really good. Obviously, he came to us and we got in the playoffs pretty much straight away, and he were massive in that as well. Obviously, not blessed with blistering pace, but he's clever. He was just such a really good defender. Just use his experience, as I say, you know, it always seems to be there clearing up. Good leader. Obviously it didn't sound like captaincy went well for you, but been absolutely fantastic. And you know what? Since that, it's really weird. We're just boom and bust. So that's it. First season, third place, you know, 90 minutes from, you know, the Premier League again, and two really struggling seasons. But I'd have to say Tom Lees has probably been one of our best players in both the seasons as well. And honestly, now, he'd probably still be one of the first names on the team sheet. So when you're thinking about waste of money, when we wasted so much money in, like, from the Premier League, and, you know, even going back after that, to get Tom Lees on a free is, for me, probably one of Huddersfield Town's best bit of business last 10 seasons, mate, because he's that good. And yeah, big fan of his, mate. You know, he knows his limitations, but that's what I mean. You don't see him get caught out much, to be honest, mate. Yeah. Really, I can't remember many.
He was a great servant, and I think he was tainted towards the end of his time at Hillsborough by a couple of bad months. I mean, talking about wastes of money, I mean, we'll go to a waste of money that we spent a bloody fortune on. Obviously, we didn't buy him from you, but I think he's a Huddersfield legend. Is Jordan Rhodes? Yeah. No, it's always makes me laugh. But Borough sold in to us for $8 million, and then the chairman of Borough then complained to the EFL about us, you know, outpricing everybody else after they'd sold Jordan Rhodes to us, who scored 10 goals in 4 years or whatever it was, and refused to take a penalty against you guys. You know, obviously he's a massive, massive hero to you guys, isn't he, Mr. Rhodes?
Yeah, the first spell with us, legend really, obviously young Jordan Rhodes, when we were in League One, and just absolute dynamite. I think he got 40 goals in one season. I don't think we got up that season at all, which was quite incredible. But yeah, and I think the sadness was he didn't... He left for Blackburn Rovers, and we were kind of, you know, not up at that point. But he was just nice that he came back. And obviously in that second spell, that playoff season, you know, it was his goal that got us to Wembley against Luton Town in the two-legged playoff against them. And it's just Neil Warnock, it's not a Neil Warnock man. And he faded out of the picture. And Neil Warnock with a guy who kind of moved him on to Blackpool and that as well. So obviously been a bit of a clamber because we've got no strikers like bringing back and blah, blah, blah. But I think he's really happy at Blackpool. Obviously scored like 15 goals. I think he's tailed off a little bit recently. But he doesn't always anything really in that as well. He'll always be fun, remember. But yeah, I have watched from afar and I just think because Blackburn, he always gets a good reception there. So obviously did all right, didn't he there? But he just never happened for you guys.
It didn't. And I think what always stands in my mind is him refusing to take that penalty when we were at Hillsborough, you know, to score against you, him, obviously Forestieri missing, and then just dropping out, and you guys went to the final and won the final. And I honestly think to this day, if we played Reading in the final like you guys did, we would have been Reading.
Yeah, we were lucky. It would have been Fulham. We wouldn't have got through it.
Yeah.
It was just written in the stars for us, that really, mate, that game.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't stick in the throat at all, Cozzy. At all, whatsoever.
I've been talking about this whenever McCare over in about 3 years, mate. Don't worry.
Trust me. I dine out on 1991 beating Manchester United.
Oh, Nigel Pearson.
War
of the Monster Chucks.
Absolutely. Yeah, good old Leeds. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. I dine out on many of those things. So right, on to Saturday. Obviously, I mean, it's an unknown for you, I suppose, in a way, with the caretaker manager in regards to what he's going to play, how he's going to set up. Has there been any inklings? Has there been any talk on the forums? I mean, I don't know if people watch the academy, how he sets up there. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, obviously a big unknown, to be honest with you, and that as well. I don't think Rowe will be able to, you know, the light managers, it's not about them, it's about us, what we do, all that. But yeah, I don't think anyone knows what's going to happen. The one thing I do know is that we will have a go. We will be on the front foot. And there's so many people I know that are just energised by the fact that Darren Moore's gone. And obviously I'm not going Saturday, but like, can I borrow your season card? These people that I've never seen for like, you know, for 8 months since Warnock went and stuff. So it's like, it's re-energized the place. But the only thing with caretakers, you just don't know, do you? I mean, you've obviously had loads, we've had loads, but there's sometimes it can work, sometimes it cannot. But I think when I'll kind of look at what we're about at the moment, and obviously just crash coursing you just watching that game last night, it's like, I think you know what you're going to get with you, where with us, I'm just not so sure. But yeah, I always kind of think picture dressing room there, because all of a sudden you've got a guy there who's, they won the lottery, but it's because, fair enough, he's coaching at, you know, a B team level, academy level, but he's going, like you say, we were about Tom Lees there, you know, Lee Nichols, there's kind of a lot of senior players that we've got, and it's like all of a sudden he's going to be coming in there and saying this and that and the other and stuff as well. So it is going to be fascinating to see. He's a local guy as well. He's John Worthington, which goes down well. He doesn't live far away from where I live, to be fair. So it's, honestly, when I look at the social media, is never always a good gauge, I think, to take things from. But I can't wait for Saturday. Bring it on, blah, blah, blah. But obviously, you know, you'll be thinking the same and that as well. So there's one thing absolutely guaranteed, and I'm going to say it because I've got to watch it now, but there's no way it can be as bad as that game in October, won't it?
No.
There's no way. There is no way. There's no.
No, it's too. It's certainly from us. We are night and day to what we were then. Mm. So is it a sellout? No, obviously we've, as normal, we've sold out our allocations.
I don't think so, but I think there'll be more than normal, to be honest, mate, and that as well. But you never know it. Like crowds, they give these fake gates out, don't they? But
they've
been saying for stuff like for us, like 17,800. And honestly, I'd say there's sometimes like only 10,000 in the stadium, obviously. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think they'll be probably pushing 20,000 and that as well. Which, if Mordor had still been there, that is for sure. But you know, I do feel sorry for a bit of damage. He's just a nice guy, but he was just the wrong time for his appointment. And obviously, it was Nagel's first appointment of a manager, and let's hope his second one's a bit better.
So, in regards to Wednesday players, is there anybody that you'd be looking out for? Anybody you think, hang on a minute, he's a danger man? Or is anybody there that you guys are worried about?
Well, there's obviously big Huddersfield connections all over the shop because Windass. Josh Windass was at Huddersfield, not really breaking in the first team, more of a B team player as well. So he'll be up for it as well. Obviously, Danny Cadamati, Bailey Cadamati. I'd expect him maybe to start. So it'd be interesting to see what they do on Saturday. So to see what they do with him and that as well. Obviously, came on the bench last night. One thing that amazed me, like, he must spend so much time in the gym. He's how big and bulky is he? I couldn't believe it. Yeah. Maybe I'm just thinking of his dad. I mean, to be fair, he were like, he was smaller, but he looked not as big as him. Yeah. You're a monster. I were quite shocked, to be honest with you, mate. Yeah. But yeah, obviously, everyone will be always saying every time you interview an opposition, Barney Barnum. But it's just fact, mate, isn't it? That is anything good that Wednesday do is, I was surprised he got subbed off last night late on. Maybe he could have been the man to unlock the door as well. But no, it's, the keeper's an interesting one. His kicking looked a bit all over the shop,
It's funny yesterday. That, isn't it? I mean, that's only his second game he's played. He's on loan from Brighton.
It looks like he's about 15 years old.
He's 18. Yeah. He's 18. Yeah. And he's very beanpole-y, isn't he? I think he's 6 foot odd. But our Cameron Dawson, who is homegrown talent, his kicking's been pretty poor as well.
Yeah.
But he's injured. So in the FA Cup, because Beadle, who's the keeper who played last night, is cup tied. We've had a guy called Price Charles, who is a lad, and he's only 18 as well. And he is just, it's scary because I've got a 15-year-old son. And I'm in my 50s, and these kids who are playing now are young enough to be my children. Which
I know it's bad when you're seeing like Calavati's sons playing and Windass's son.
Yes.
Josh is not spring chicken now, is he?
No,
like 26,
no, he's not.
7.
Yeah.
What a game it is! It's absolutely massive. No point underestimating it. And that used to just frustrate me more. If Mora had been press conference tomorrow, they'd have been like, Darren, massive game tomorrow, 6-pointer. He says, yeah, it's a massive game because it's the next game. That's how he talks, and he don't give anything away. Yeah, I think Simon as well, another frustrating thing that, I mean, to be fair, it's up to him, but you never got any team news or injuries. He never ever said, oh, he's 4 weeks away, he's a month away, he's out for the season.
You could almost be a Wednesday fan because this is exactly what we went through over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
He didn't know anything about injuries. Everything was played very close to his chest. And like you say, we'll take every game as it comes. So it didn't matter who you were playing.
Because He said when the chairman like had a go at him and that's what says we've got to win. He says the chairman wants to win. He says what did you think about the chairman's comments? Well, yeah, I agree with the chairman because I want to win every game too. I thought, oh, Darren, just give us something there. He doesn't let his guard drop ever. But to be fair, a proper gentleman and it'd be a different atmosphere 100% on Saturday. Like I said, there's so many people come in and that as well. But if you're asking me for a prediction...
I'm about to ask you that. So
I think you're going to win, mate. I think Wednesday will win. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. I think Wednesday are going to win 2-1. I just think that you're a bit more organised than us, a bit more smarter than us. I think there'll be a lot more effort. To be fair, it could be an emotion, wave on emotion, but I just think we might go total opposite to like what we've been, where we've been pretty cautious and, throw the kitchen sink at it, which we've got to win. But I just think we might be opening ourselves up at the back. And I don't know. I just got a feeling you're going to win, mate, 2-1. But hopefully it's a bit of
That's where it would play into our hands, because if you do give it, Watford, I thought, sat back a lot yesterday, which I was surprised about.
They seemed to be happy with a draw, didn't they? They did.
And
taking the time at the end and that, yeah.
Especially a team that are, you know, what, top 10.
Needed a win.
Yeah. But I think if you do go for us, then I think you will get punished, certainly with the pace of people like Masaba
Masaba good on that as well. Yeah. Who was the guy that came on at the end, mate? That, like, unbelievable, he nearly forgot to take ball with him.
Oh, we've got him on loan at the moment. Unfortunately, he missed the first half of the season.
Unbelievable.
For a really bad injury.
And I thought, bring ball back, mate.
Yeah, take ball back with you. Yeah, that was funny. But he is, I think he's going to be a really good find, but he's on loan. At the moment, he's been coming back slowly. Danny Rule's played him occasionally. I think he's favoured Palmer in midfield, who actually is really a left back or right back. The thing is, Danny Rule, I can't question his choice of players. He doesn't seem to have put a foot wrong so far. We've been restricted by the fact that we haven't really got an out-and-out striker. I was hoping, and I'm still hoping, we might bring somebody in tonight.
I think the thing as well, Simon, it's the stuff he does after the game, mate. It's little things like that. Honestly, the trouble is that... So, when you're winning, like we had Carlos Corberan, and he was kind of similar to Moore, didn't give you much and what have you. And people don't care when they win, but it's little things like that people, I'd love to see that. We are like another show manager and that as well. And as long as we win, I don't care if it just comes down the tunnel, because I won that quite a big shock with Moore early on, because he just used to go down the tunnel when you normally get a manager coming to their way. Little things like that, he's just united a camp that were absolutely on its backside at Hillsborough. It's like it's given. Everyone's on the same page, mate. Which, when I watched that old game and all, you know,
we've taken him to it. We've taken him to our heart. We've definitely taken him to our heart.
And it'll be a tough game.
It'll be an interesting game, because obviously you've got, you know, you've changed managers. I would imagine that he will experiment, you know, because it might be his only game in charge. So, well, let's see what happens. Yeah. I think it might be 2-1 to Wednesday. Who knows?
Yeah. One thing I'd like to say, Simon, just before I go on that as well. So there's a guy who won't be there on Saturday, and sadly left us in December. You'll probably know Steve Beastie.
Became a massive friend for
me over the years. Honestly, the reports he used to write, I remember the old fanzines that he used to, because my friend used to play for Sheffield Wednesday, Lee Bromby. So I used to go there quite a bit and read a lot of Steve's material. Honestly, just a proper guy, like just a guy, didn't take life too seriously. Life and soul of the party. Honestly, the most humble guy that, you know, you get people on Twitter, don't you, like giving it the big I am, and you can't have any interaction with people. But Steve, honestly, even I remember when he put Darren Moore, we were having, what do you think, Rich? And he always commented on us stuff. And obviously, as Moore came in, he had plenty to say and stuff like that as well. I was absolutely heartbroken when I heard of his passing. I think it was in December, wasn't it? And that as well.
It'd be sadly missed. Obviously, Holly's daughter's on the show, I've spoken to him several times, but I was lucky enough to meet him at Wembley. A lovely character. He, unfortunately, not being long diagnosed with his illness.
No,
at that time.
He kept it quiet, didn't he?
But he did. And he fought. Unfortunately, he succumbed to it at Christmas, but. To everybody touched, like yourselves, nobody has got a bad word to say about the lad, and he will always be remembered.
Oh, I miss him, mate, because like on Saturday we'll be bantering, who's what about that? After that first game, we were saying, bloody hell, you know, no wonder you think, Steve, we're like watching that every week. But yeah, there's a big hole, like, in a Wednesday, obviously, fan base, but I couldn't believe it that day when obviously it was announced. So I know we're probably watching, so sure, Rich.
He will.
Bored out of the head listening to this, but mate, yeah, what a legend, man.
Yeah, he will. And unfortunately, like I say, he's touched a lot of our hearts, and everybody I speak to has just got great words to say about him. So deeply missed, but always remembered in our memories, which is a great thing. Cozzy, thank you so
pleasure,
much
mate.
For your time.
I've
great to talk to you.
Again.
Can you smell it?
Yeah, Colt Fire Brigade. quick. Hello, hello.
Well, thanks for joining us on Hello from the Other Side. We had a few little glitches at the start, but we sorted it. So can I just ask anybody who's listening, if you want to like, follow, subscribe, we're on all the social medias out there. We do this free of charge. We do it because it's a laugh. We hope you all enjoy listening. I'm sure Cozzy does it exactly the same for the Huddersfield fans out there.
Yeah, no Patreon,
you
know, things for us. Yeah,
absolutely. Not at all.
Okay, Chris.
Don't forget as well, any Wednesdayites listening out there, that we are doing an Easter egg drop. The first game you'll be able to come and drop off is on the 24th of February. The reason why I remember that is it's my better half's birthday. And we will have some sort of stand or something outside the Wednesday mega store. So if you can bring some Easter eggs down, drop them off with us. We are going to be donating to Sheffield Children's Hospital and to PACT. So the kids out there can have a good Easter, whether they be in hospital or suffering from illnesses at the time. So please, please jump on board with that. It'd be great. You know, we want to give stuff back to the community. Who people were less well off than ourselves, be it money wise or be it health wise. Thank you very much, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Cozzy. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, pleasure, man. See you later.
Enjoy Germany. I'm sure you will. I know I will.
Danke. Danke.
Danke. And auf Wiedersehen.
Cheers, mate. Cheers. Cheers, Simon.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.